May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 629. 629. The Lord will feed the poor, nor shall their fare be mean. Rich blessings are in store in Grace's magazine, from which rich treasure Christ will feed the hungry soul that feels his need. Hymn 629.
Let us read together from the Word of God, prophecy of Isaiah, and reading from chapter 25. The prophecy of Isaiah, and we will read from chapter 25. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defenced city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. Under the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, bring to the ground, even to the dust. May the Lord bless that word of his truth to us and help us to seek him at the throne of grace. Once more, gracious Lord our God, enabled to gather together in thy name, and once more come to thy feet to worship thee. And we pray that we may come in that way shown and revealed to us in thy word, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that we may each come with a little of that humbling of our hearts before thee, under a conscious sense of our need of thee, to be our Saviour, to be our Redeemer, to be that one that shall appear for us, and to reveal and manifest thyself in all the blessings of thy salvation, redeeming love and blood. Or may we be brought to see that our standing before thee is not in our own strength, but, Lord, in what thou hast done and wrought for us. And we pray, Lord, that we may be emptied of self and all that is of the creature, and that we might come before thee, Lord, in thy blessing of those that have been renewed by grace. And Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that we are accepted before thee into thy presence through the redeeming love and blood of Jesus. And Lord, there are those that gather here whom we do believe are seekers of thy face. Oh, be pleased to show to them, Lord, that there is hope in salvation for sinners, the vilest sinner, those indeed who feel all their guilt and defilement upon their consciences. Lord, it is by the teaching of thy Spirit. Oh, it is, Lord, through grace that we have been taught our sinnership. But Lord, thou wilt not leave such an one that has been brought to the discovery of their state and condition by nature, but that thou wilt lead them on. Thou wilt show to them, Lord, that there is a way of salvation, and that way has been provided in the gift of thy dearly beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our hope in him and his cross is our only mercy. And we do pray, Lord, that there may be those then that are in this assembly that have come to seek thy face, that they also might know thee in thy salvation. Oh, be pleased, Lord, then, to draw near to us and in this gathering, and continue to show to us our great need of thee day by day, to keep us and to sustain us, to hold us to thee. Oh, we spoke of the poor and the needy ones this morning, and Lord, and thou hast been pleased, Lord, to draw them by the cords of thy love to thyself as helpless, poor and needy sinners, having nothing of their own to plead, being brought to see much of the foolishness and folly of their lives. But now, Lord, looking only to thee for every source of help and need, and thy word and thy truth, Lord, is that is able to uphold us and sustain us. For thou, Lord, hast spoken in thy word that there is no other help but in that help that is found in thee for sinners. And Lord, we come to thee and seek that help this evening hour. That same help that the Syrophoenician woman came to thy feet with. Her great need was of thee, of her daughter. And Lord, our need is of thee. And Lord, thy servant needs help. Thy people need help. We need the outpouring of thy Spirit to come upon us, to draw us to thee, to bring us into the presence of the Lord, and to worship at his feet. And this, Lord, is our greatest blessing and our greatest mercy, that it is through Jesus. But, Lord, it is our mercy to come with nothing in our hand, but to plead, Lord, for all that thou art pleased to bless to us. We wait upon thee, Lord, for thy grace. We wait upon thee, Lord, for thy mercy. We wait upon thee for thy word and thy truth and thy gospel. O Lord, to come to us, enlarge our souls upon thy word. And we have read in thy word a feast of fat things, wines on the lees, fat things full of marrow, wines on the lees, well refined, a full and a free gospel for sinners, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to show to us a few handfuls of purpose this evening hour, the bread of life in Christ Jesus, all those blessings and promises and favours of a covenant God to his people in and through Jesus, and to bring us, Lord, to partake of him, and thank thee, Lord, for all the blessings that flow out towards us through him. O Lord, be pleased to draw near to us and help us each, Lord, this evening hour to partake of thee. And we pray, Lord, for each and every one, the youngest to the eldest, Lord, that thou wilt come to every one, Lord, and give some measure, some portion for each soul, we pray thee, that their souls might live. And Lord, it may be a way that thou art leading thy people on, bringing them nearer to thee. Thou art teaching each one of us, here a little and there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt come to each and every one of us, so that not one of us will be left destitute this day of a living portion for our souls. Oh, precious Christ revealed to sinners as our all and in all, and none like unto him. Oh, be our treasure at this time, Lord. Be made precious to us, we pray thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come and fill us with thy goodness, and that, Lord, we may be those that shall receive at thy gracious hand some blessing this evening hour. We thank thee, Lord, for bringing us to thy house of prayer and keeping us through the interim period. And we pray, Lord, that we may be those, Lord, that shall again be able to rejoice in thee and in thy salvation and thy gracious promises to us, Lord, to keep us, to maintain and sustain us to the end of our days. O Lord, we do pray, help us to live by faith upon thee and to serve thee, Lord, at this time. For without faith, Lord, it is impossible to please thee. And so, Lord, bless each one of us with this most precious gift of faith, Lord. Faith in Jesus and faith in thy word and promises, and faith, Lord, in all thy offices and characters that thou dost hold for us, so that we shall be able, Lord, to come to thee in every time of need, whatever our circumstance, whatever we may meet with in our lives, that we have one to come to, and that is our mercy, Lord, that thy people shall never be left without, but that thou wilt appear, Lord, in the riches of thy grace and in the fullness, Lord, of thy person and thy merits and thy offices and characters, so that thy people, Lord, shall be brought through their course here below. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come to each one of us in our homes, our families, and those things that concern us, Lord. O Lord, we do pray that we may be able and help to commit everything into thy hands, Lord. O we do pray, Lord, that if we are brought, Lord, into times of doubt and into times of fears, times of troubles, O Lord, let us know what it is to come to thee, Lord, to wait upon thee, Lord, and thou dost speak to us through thy word, Lord, and thou wilt never, Lord, leave thy people into confusion. Thy word, Lord, blessed to the soul through the Spirit, Lord, is a word indeed of certainty and truth, and it is thy word. And Lord, we do pray that we may be helped to hear it and to follow in it, Lord. For it is thou, Lord, that is our guide and our counsellor here below. We haven't got any other, Lord, to turn to. But, Lord, we shall never mistake the way if we come to thee, Lord. If we commit all our cares and all our concerns into thine ever merciful hands, thou art pleased, Lord, to hear us, and thou art pleased to appear for us and to manage for us, to govern for us, to rule for us. This, Lord, is our mercy, but help us to come to thee, Lord. Never leave us to ourselves, Lord. Never leave us to trust in our own hearts, Lord. We pray thee that we will be deceived, Lord. We still have a wicked and a deceitful heart. It hasn't changed, Lord, and it never will. But oh, our mercy is to look only unto thee, and that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to lead us and to guide us all our journey through. And thou knowest that from time to time we've been brought to that word so often. Thy poor servant Saul of Tarsus brought to his knees, and Lord, a miracle of grace. And yet, Lord, a cry came from his inmost soul, a cry of dependence, a cry of submission. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, what a glorious word that is to a precious Jesus and Saviour. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And grace, Lord, to follow in thy will. And yea, thy servant Saul of Tarsus, as he became Paul, he was to go forth and to preach that gospel that he sought to destroy. And yet, Lord, thou didst inform him that he must suffer many things for thy name's sake. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Oh, how he went in love, how he went to serve thee, and how he went to lift thee up on the gospel pole. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that we might be helped, Lord, to follow thee, Lord, in all thy will and thy purposes concerning us. So, Lord, we do pray, be with us once more this evening hour. Draw near to us and each of our needs, we pray, and be revealed to each one of us. We seek, Lord, those further confirmations and consolations as we journey forth here below, Lord, that thou art with us. And we're each coming, Lord, to our journey's end. And we mustn't think, Lord, that because we're young, that it is a long way off. O Lord, our days and the number of them are with thee. But O Lord, help us and confirm us in faith and love to thee. Show to us that it shall be well with us, Lord, as we journey forth. And Lord, particularly, Lord, as we do not know what a day may bring forth, but Lord, to wait upon thee and to live upon thee by faith each and every day. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, be pleased, Lord, then, to hear us in our prayers and our petitions. May we know what it is to be humble walkers before thee and serve thee in our day and generation. And thank thee, Lord, for the great deliverance, Lord, that thou hast blessed us with, that we should never again be left to ourselves as we were found in this world and going forth in the ruin of our nature. Oh, may we thank and praise thee, Lord, for the great deliverance and the great mercy that came to us, that we do not belong to ourselves anymore, but we belong to Christ. Oh, Lord, we do pray, show to us our mercies, Lord. Show us how to live upon thee and how to come to thee, how to worship thee, Lord, how to serve thee, Lord, how to call upon thee at the throne of grace, Lord. Oh, Lord, be our helper in these things. And what a great mercy it is, Lord, that all these things belong to us, that we should follow thee. Be pleased to guard and guide us each round about. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast brought us thus far, another Lord's Day, in our pilgrimage here below. Thou hast given to us, Lord, and we do pray that we may enter into a little of that peace and rest that is in Jesus and his gospel, and pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with us each, Lord, and keep us and hold us to thee by faith and thy fear in our hearts. We pray thee, and we pray for all of thy sent servants this day, Lord, as they stand forth, watchmen upon the walls of Zion, to preach thine everlasting gospel. O Lord, may it be that the word may be good and seasonable to thy people, to uphold them, to keep them. It may be a word in correction and chastening, and it may be, Lord, a word in doctrine, in righteousness. It may be a word to lead us and to direct us here below. But Lord, thou dost come to thy people, and it is all in love, Lord, all in love. And we thank thee, Lord, for the same. Oh, that we could love thee more. Oh, that we could come to worship thee more, be found more often at thy feet, Lord, and have a desire and a love for thy name, and give glory to thee. O Lord, then be with us again this evening hour as we wait upon thee, and come to each one of us. We thank thee, Lord, for the opening of our doors once more in the worship of thy name. Please, Lord, to rule and to reign for us, Lord, and manage in all things. Bring us again, Lord, into that proper and true worship of thy name. We pray thee. We wait upon thee, Lord, and beg that thou wilt hear us as we seek, Lord, to be found worshipping thee according to thy word. We pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, be with the church, the deacons here, the members, each that come to worship in thy name. Lord, we do pray that there may be a faithful witness and a testimony of the gospel preached here, and that thy name shall be raised up and glorified in the midst of them. We pray thee. Do pardon and forgive our every sin. We have much to confess and much to repent of. But we thank thee, Lord, for the mercy that is shown to us. Thou hast shown to us that we hate our sins, and so we do, Lord. We hate ourselves for them. We would not offend against thee and against thy cross, Lord, thou knowest. But we're afflicted and infirmed, and thy servant John has spoken a word to us each, that if any man sin, suffer infirmities, then we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who made a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, it is our mercy. Be pleased to help thy servant to speak in thy name this evening hour. Be pleased, Lord, to take that word through thy spirit and open the hearts of thy people and bless it to them, that sower and reaper may rejoice together. We pray for those unable to gather with us at this time. Be with them, Lord, where they are. Keep and preserve them. Thy love and fear, and we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 543. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way the church has trod down from Adam's day to this. Hymn 543.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the chapter that we read in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 25, and reading from verse 1 by way of a text. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 25, and reading from verse 1. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. This chapter 25 is a sort of a song, a hymn if you like. It is praise to the Lord. It is what God has done in Christ. And the wonderful truth is that all that he has done, he came to do for sinners. And if the Lord will help me, just to show one or two of those precious truths that do belong to the Lord's people, something that they can bear with them and carry with them all their days and all their journey through. Those testimonies in their souls can never be erased. They're what the Lord has done in a personal way for every one of his people. And it is a wonderful truth that to be a witness of God, ye are my witnesses, he says. And it is a mercy that we can speak of some of those things that the Lord has done and wrought for us. Things in providence and things in grace. How he has managed our lives. How he has brought us through our course. How he has delivered us from temptations. How he has come to us and led and shown to us the way that he will have us to go, because we're those poor and those needy ones that we spoke of this morning. But these poor and needy ones are raised up and lifted high, and they're very near to God. And it is a mercy to be able to speak of some of those things that God has done for us. And I believe there are one or two of those things in this first verse of this 25th chapter, the prophecy of Isaiah. We've got a God, dear friends, that is unfailing in his love, his counsels, his purposes of grace, his mercy and his goodness towards his people. And that is what we have in this first verse. His counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And how many times has our God appeared for us and on our part, and we have proved him to be a faithful God. O Lord, Thou art my God. David was brought on more than one occasion to repeat such gracious words as these. Thou art my God. Well, the wonderful truth here is, how that God has been pleased to reveal and manifest himself to us. And I believe that we've just sung of it in the hymn, Jesus is the way to God. And that is the mercy, isn't it? O Lord, thou art my God. We can say this and repeat it. We have the testimony of it. It's what God has done and wrought through Jesus, his dearly beloved Son. And this is a song, if the Lord has been pleased to appear for us and to show us his mercy and his salvation through Jesus, this is the wonderful truth that we have. There was also another song which was sung by Moses and the children of Israel when the Lord gave them great deliverance, appeared for them, brought them out of Egyptian bondage, and the great wonders that God did. And then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Dear friends, what a wonderful truth it is that he is our God. Oh, can we repeat it? Isn't it here that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Isn't he the way unto God? And you see, we cannot know God unless through Jesus. And to wit, that God was reconciling the world unto himself through Jesus Christ. Just go to that word in Corinthians, because it is a good word, in the second epistle to Corinthians. I believe it's in chapter 5. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And this ministry of reconciliation is preached before you each and every time you come into the Lord's house. This is the ministry of reconciliation. It's the way that God has given to us, whereby a sinner may be saved and redeemed again unto God. Because that is the work that Jesus came to do. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He is faithful, dear friends, in the work that he came to do. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And dear friends, what a mercy it is for this reconciliation. It's through the atonement of Jesus, his atoning work and sacrifice. If I can just find that word again. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we can only have any joy and happiness and peace, dear friends, in our God through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to enjoy happiness and peace. And how does it come to us? But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And in the margin it is rendered reconciliation. It is through his offering, his sacrifice and atonement for our sins and iniquities and what he came to do for sinners in the blessedness of his person, in the will of his heavenly Father, to come and reconcile the church unto God. And what a mercy it is to come through this way, dear friends. It's through the cross of Jesus. That is the way to God. It is a mercy then that by and through the blessedness of this atonement and his shed blood and his sacrifice and his offering for our sins, that there is peace and pardon through his blood. That is the joy. That is the happiness. That is where we can rejoice in God's salvation, dear friends. That was how that Habakkuk could rejoice in the God of his salvation. When everything became desolate and everything, dear friends, was barren, no calves in the stall, the very solemn truth, dear friends, of those things that had come upon the children of Israel. And yet he's able to say, Habakkuk, one thing was remaining, one thing was left, which could never be taken away. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What is it, dear friends? It's the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins through the redemption work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way unto God. And Jesus has made it possible through those awful sufferings that he endured at Calvary's tree. Then, able to say these wonderful words, O Lord, thou art my God. And nothing can change it, dear friends. It's bound up in everlasting love. It's bound up in the everlasting covenant, because he is a God in covenant with his people. Everything has been sealed, signed and ratified in that covenant. The blood of the everlasting covenant. The church is sealed inside of it. And the church rest and abide always upon those everlasting arms. They've been borne up and carried through every generation of time upon those everlasting arms to the end of their days into glory with the Lord. Not one of these can ever perish or be lost. O Lord, thou art my God. And so it is something here to praise and bless him for. May we know what it is, and if we're seekers, dear friends, beg and urge and press thy case. Come unto me, Jesus says, all ye that have labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a promise, isn't it? And if Jesus, has, through his Spirit, has burdened thy soul with sin, then, dear friends, this is the glorious blessing that is shown. Come unto me. Bring that burden unto me. You see, I will give you rest. Where is that rest? It's through his cross, dear friends. Through his cross. The God of my salvation. He is our Redeemer God, dear friends. In and through the person of his dearly beloved Son. And then this truth will follow. I will exalt thee. Oh, if God does anything for us, dear friends, I will exalt thee. When he comes to our case and he comes to our need, I will exalt thee. Dear friends, it's the church brought here to lift him up. It means, that's what it means, exalt thee, to lift him up. And dear friends, can we lift the dear Lord Jesus up? You know, he was lifted up for us, dear friends. He was lifted up for sinners. Can we lift him up? Now that we can repeat this glorious word, O Lord, thou art my God, can we lift him up? He's redeemed us to God. He has lifted the poor and the needy to high places that we spoke of this morning. Can we now lift up the Lord, dear friends? Can we exalt him? Can we exalt his name? Can we give glory to him? This one who is constantly the friend of sinners, this one who is constantly near at hand to every one of us in all our needs, is always there. Can we lift him up as our great high priest above, who ever liveth to make intercession for us? Can we lift him up? He doesn't remove from that position. He's always there. Can we lift him up? Because of the times and the seasons that he has come to our need and our concerns, the times that he has answered our prayers and petitions, the times that he has received us and done something for us, you may be able to have those times and seasons where the Lord has appeared for you. You've come to him in your great need and he's appeared. He may have given you some direction in life, some purpose here below. And then, dear friends, the things that are spiritual, the things that are needful to our souls, if we asked him, when we perhaps have come to the Lord's house and in his pews, if we asked him some matter, some concern, some need, and has he answered your prayers and petitions? Our great high priest above, who ever liveth to make intercession for us, he is, dear friends, that one. He will appear for his people. Wait upon him by living faith and commit everything that concerns us into his ever merciful hands. He is very, very near to his people. Isn't it a truth? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then, dear friends, I may have made mention on several occasions, I like the Lord in that he is that one in his character and nature as the shepherd. And dear friends, isn't he that one to be lifted up? How he has cared for us, how he has watched over us, preserved us and kept us, brought us into pastures fresh and green, fed us with the bread of life from his word, his truth and his gospel. The shepherd who cares so much for his sheep, and he is that one that has brought us to this moment of time, borne us up and carried us. Isn't he that one, dear friends, in the office of a shepherd? How David was one that cared much for the sheep. They were so near to him in his father's fold. Remember the bear and the lion. Isn't it Jesus that has protected us and defended us, brought us thus far through many dangers, both seen and unseen? It's Jesus the shepherd, and he's that one that goes before to lead and to guide and to direct them. And isn't it Jesus that has directed us in all our paths and brought us thus far? Can we exalt him, lift him up? And then the physician. What sicknesses have we been brought through? Diseases. You may have your own personal accounts of these. But dear friends, isn't he the physician? Isn't he that one that has guided the hands of the physicians here below? Hasn't he brought us through sickness and disease, restored us? Dear friends, the physician, it was in his purposes of grace that we should be restored. We're in his hands for that. But we may be able, dear friends, to bring to our notice those times and seasons where the Lord has been pleased to heal us and to restore us through sickness and disease. And so it is. He is the physician. And then to lift him up and to exalt him. He is worthy, dear friends, to be lifted up. He continues day by day to do great things for us. And we're always in the hands of this good shepherd. Lift him up, dear friends. He's brought us thus far. We're in his hands today. And then, dear friends, we don't want to forget that he is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He rules and reigns for us in heaven's high court above. Every matter concerning us is with him. He will rule and overrule in everything. And our mercy is that if we have made a mistake, David made many mistakes, and we must confess the many mistakes that we have made, he will rule and overrule in it. He will bring us away, dear friends, from ourselves and from our own intended purposes. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Jesus. He does own us. And he will rule and manage and overrule for us. And he is that one that has brought us thus far. He has brought us out of many troubles, hasn't he? Contemplate them. Many mistakes that we've made. How he's overruled. How he's been that one to interpose in our lives. And he does everything in love, dear friends. Everything in love. You see, He is to be lifted up. He loved us so much upon the cross, Calvary. And there was no greater love than that. And he continues to love, and he will love to the end. And then he will bring us where he is, and we will understand then his love is an everlasting love. Lift him up, dear friends. These are all the blessings through a God in covenant with his people. I will praise thy name. Praise him. It is proper that we should praise him. And not only in our worship, that is the place where we should praise him. Sing his praises. He is to be praised. He is to be glorified by and through his people. He is to be praised for the many blessings, for the much needed grace, the much care and keeping and preservation, and then the word of his truth and his gospel that he speaks to us. If he speaks a word in season, if he comes to our case and to our need, if he encourages us in our faith, if he lifts us up above ourselves through the word. Dear friends, he is to be praised. And the many mercies, and the many mercies that belong to us day by day. You know, we cannot come to the end of a day and count up the multitude of mercies that have belonged to us, can we? We cannot. They're multitudinous. His mercies to us every day. They're new and fresh every morning. And we go about those things that are proper and what we might say lawful to do. And yet there's so many mercies in all those things. He is with his people every moment of the time. There's not a single time when he isn't with his people. And his mercies is under all his care and his keeping and preservation of us. We can come to the end of a day, dear friends, and we have to admit to being so poor in being able to really lift him up. Every day that he brings us through, it's Jesus that has brought us through. It's Jesus whose eye has ever been upon and towards us. His care and keeping. And he has brought us through, and we've wanted for nothing, really. That is the blessing and the mercy. Just think of David. I believe that in Psalm 34 he must have, because he had made such a mistake and fled as it were to Achish, king of Gath, thinking that he could escape Saul. But there was one thing that David was brought to see. He says, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." No want. What a mercy it is then to fear the Lord. There is no want for them. And I've mentioned the shepherd. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And if you've got the good shepherd, dear friends, you will never want. Jesus has got everything that you need. Everything. Everything in providence, in grace, his word. He supports and strengthens, comes to our help and comes to our need. I will praise thy name. And then we can praise him, dear friends. Then for another day that he has given to us here below, another day in the means of grace and found at his feet. It's the most wonderful privilege, you know, dear friends, wonderful, to be found at the feet of Jesus. I will praise thy name. His name is to be praised. Name of Redeemer, Saviour, Friend, Friend of sinners. All that we need is found with him. I will praise thy name. Praise him in respect of his providence towards us. The path that he's brought us to pass through, it's his path. It's his way. Does it go against nature, dear friends? I was brought from time to time in my way and path through those things that were not suited to nature. But it was Jesus' way and path. And I was brought to see it ultimately. It's his way. And he will be glorified in it. Oh, let us not murmur and complain about that path that the dear Lord Jesus will bring us to pass through. It's his way for us. And we have to submit to his sovereignty in respect of these things. There were those times and seasons when I could have thought things could have been in a better way. Because things seem to go against flesh, you know, and it hurts. But we have to be brought away from that. And only Jesus can do it. Let us be helped to follow his path in providence and submit to him. We're not to seek great things here below, dear friends. We're to follow the Lord in the path that he has ordained for us. And come to the prayer of Paul, Saul of Tarsus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then praise him for it, dear friends. It wasn't a comfortable path for Paul, was it? No, it wasn't. Everywhere he went to preach the word, he found so much opposition. So many came against him. But he continued in faith and love to his Lord, because his Lord had done so much for him, hadn't he? And Paul was brought to see that, and he was ready to spend and be spent for his Lord. Isn't that a mercy? To follow in his will. May the Lord help us to follow in his will. And he does speak to us here, dear friends. Here is his will and purpose. Take his word and ask the Lord to lead and to direct us all our journey through. And then praise his name. Because, dear friends, as we journey forth, what have we got? What can we look to? What have we got before us? Well, we have our lives, you might say. We may be young. We've got a little bit of way to go yet. Dear friends, the Lord knows our days and he knows our path. But you know, if we've got this truth here, O Lord, thou art my God, he has prepared a place for his people. And we're journeying. And have we got a little hope and expectation, some consolation in our souls, that he has reserved a place for us. He is to be lifted up, dear friends, when the Lord will be pleased to confirm to us each that we have a little hope and expectation as we journey forth, that he has prepared a place for us, and he will receive us unto himself, that where he is, that we may be there also. And dear friends, is it in our hearts? Are we waiting for him, waiting upon him? We do not know when the Lord will be pleased to take us to himself. We do not know. But we can go forth in this comfortable hope, dear friends, because our God is a God in covenant with his people, and he is faithful in his counsels and in his truth, that there is a place reserved for his people. And this must be the comfort of our souls, dear friends. This was Paul's prospect. He was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. A high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he was looking, going by faith, struggling through afflictions, but he was pressing. And his hope and his expectation was in that crown of righteousness that awaited for him. And he knew full well that he'd committed his never-dying immortal soul into the hands of his Lord. And he knew that it would be well with him. He'd entrusted everything into his hands. Is to be praised, dear friends. None of his poor people will ever be lost. None. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Wonderful things. I think they're those things that we'll be able to know and understand in a personal way. How that the Lord has brought us thus far. Wonderful things. We know there are wonderful things in salvation, in redemption work. Wonderful things, dear friends. How that by and through the Spirit of the Lord, and the power of his grace in the soul of a sinner can change a sinner. See Saul of Tarsus, as I've mentioned, and see our own case. See where we were. Wonderful things in that glorious change wrought within the soul. And the testimony lies within us. The witness again of what God has done in Christ for us. And these are the wonderful things. There's nothing more wonderful, dear friends, than to be brought to see a full and free salvation in a precious Christ upon the cross at Calvary. Wonderful. Wonderful. Then those wonderful things in our lives, wonderful things in providence, where the Lord has brought us through, met our case and our need. Wonderful things, the changes that he has done and wrought for us, but then wonderful in the path that he has brought us in and to pass through. I just feel... just feel that I want to say something in respect of my own case. I do believe grace is in it, and I've seen the wonderment of it. The wonderment that it should have anything to do with me at all has been a wonderment. That he should ever have stopped me in my mad career. But on Saturday, yesterday, my wife and I celebrated 50 years together. And I can only look at the wonderful things. When I met her, it was by and through. She wasn't my mother-in-law then. She used to pay the wages at the place that I worked. But she asked me if I could teach her daughter to drive. And I said I would go. And I did. 2 nights, perhaps on a Saturday afternoon. But it was only 2 or 3 times. And we saw that we were affectionately drawn together. But she was a worldling, and she was in the world. She went to church a few times, but she was into all sorts of music. She liked classical music. I'm not opposing that at all. But she played the guitar, she played the piano, rock and roll, all the modern pop of that day. We were affectionately drawn to each other. And I told her all about myself after the third visit. And I said, I go to church every Lord's Day, twice in the week, I worship. And that surprised her. But we stopped in a lay-by and I spoke for an hour of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said that she had never heard anyone speak like I spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said that if we want to come together, I would wish you to come to chapel with me and to worship with me. And I left her on a weekend to think about it. She called me first thing on Monday morning, about 8 o'clock, and said that she wanted to come. The first time I went to pick her up on the Lord's Day, it was a Lord's Day afternoon for an evening service, and all the records and the music were blowing out. And I can't tell you how I felt. I had to tell her. But anyway, I went the next Lord's Day. She was still playing her music. She played the guitar. And a very worldly person she was. The third Lord's Day, it was all quiet. And I was thankful for that. By the time she had come to chapel a few times, she was brought to see the nature of my living and the way I lived and sought to worship the Lord and follow Him. And the Lord, in the wonderful mercy, she has never failed to come to chapel in 50 years. Baptized together, same time. She's been my helpmeet ever since, put into the ministry. And there are those wonderful things that we can bear testimony to. The changes that the Lord can do. Is there anything too hard for him? And now 50 years together. And it's to rejoice in the Lord and praise him for the wonderful things that he has done. And I do believe that we will each have those wonderful things in our lives that bear a testimony to the Lord, to his goodness and to his mercy to us, and the path that he will lead us and direct us. I know that a good many of our ministers would not have recommended having someone that was in the world. But dear friends, I needed that time to prove it. And it's the Lord that worked. The Lord that worked. Thou hast done wonderful things. And he continues to do wonderful things today. It's a wonderful thing to be found in his house of prayer. It's a wonderful thing to be brought into his banqueting house, and that his banner over us is that of love. It's a wonderful thing, dear friends. Our time is going. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Think of his counsels regarding our great salvation, the predeterminate counsel and foreknowledge of God, that by those wicked hands they did take Jesus and crucify him. But it was our sins also, wasn't it, that nailed him upon the cross? And it's the determinate foreknowledge and determinate counsel of God that he should give his dearly beloved Son for wretched sinners. And then that he should meet with us in providence, dear friends. He knew the time that we should be born into this world. It was all predetermined in his counsels and in his knowledge. It was all set down, dear friends, in covenant. And the time that we should be born, and the time that he would keep us and preserve us to himself and hold us fast, dear friends, although we knew him not. He kept us because he was going to show his mercy and his grace to us. And then that time determined when he would meet with us in the way to change us. The counsels, thy counsel of old are faithfulness and truth. And then the time to know the redeeming love and blood of Jesus. And dear friends, the time up till now, all his purposes will come to pass in respect of his people. And he's coming again, dear friends. Are we waiting for him? And this pandemic that has come on, one thing that seems to stand out in my mind is this, that he has come across the whole earth in a few weeks. And we have seen his almighty power, how he has taken the mistakes of men, dear friends, that this virus should be spread abroad, the delays and so on. And it's still there, but he came across the whole earth. In a few weeks, he's coming again, in a day and an hour that we know not. Be ye also ready. It's set down in his faithful counsels that he's coming again. And be sure of it. Let us be ready, waiting for him and that day of his appearing. O Lord, this is the blessing. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Amen.
God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman at 7 o'clock. And on Tuesday evening, Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach. And on Friday evening at 8 o'clock, there will be a prayer meeting for church members. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jabez Rutt is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 527. 527. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. 527.
Please, Lord, to bless what has been attended to this day in thy name, to thy honour and thy glory. Please to be with us as we remember thee upon the cross at Calvary. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.